12. The Evidence of Love. We come to the city. As we suspect, the opposition has grown powerful since we left for the country in the north. As we approach, they recognize us and huge crowds flock to greet us. Even before we get there, word has gone before us, such that as we enter the city, it is like nothing we have yet seen. Singing and shouting all accompany us, people calling, "Hallelujah," "Praise the Lord," "Hosanna," and "Blessed is the Lord," as we go by. Jess remains calm. The acclaim of the crowd does not move him. Indeed, by the next day, the opposition begins again to test him with their tricks and questions, trying to turn the people against him. After a few days of this, I sense again, as I have many times recently, a yet deeper quiet coming to his spirit. He takes us aside one evening to enjoy a supper alone together at the house of one of his followers in the city, a wealthy widow named Mary, who lives with her brother Barney and her enthusiastic young son Mark. The mood is subdued. He reminds us of our discussions of the last several days. As we prepare to eat the meal, he gets up and takes a basin of water and a towel. "Take off your shoes," he says. Puzzled, we all do so. Jess then proceeds to wash our feet one at a time, though at first Pete objects. None of us says a word throughout the proceeding. Of course it feels good and refreshing, for the day has been long, but it is strange for him to wash our feet. When he is through, he dries his hands with a towel and resumes his seat. "Do you understand what I have just done?" he asks. We remain silent. Everything is always so unexpected with him. We never know what to say to his probing questions. "You call me teacher and Lord," he goes on, "and rightly so, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, should you not also wash each other's feet? You see, in everything, as in this instance, I have been setting an example that I want you to follow. It is my desire that you do what I do. You will be greatly blessed if you do so." "Do you want us to wash each other's feet now?" asks Pete, eager to obey, yet uncertain of his meaning. Jess smiles. "No, Pete," he says. "Once you are clean, you have no need to wash again. I have done this to help you see that in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down from the kingdom of man. In the world, greatness would lord it over others. But in God's kingdom, the only greatness is to serve. As I have just shown you, to be great means washing the feet of your brothers and sisters. The Son of Man came to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He grows quiet, then looks to our treasurer, a man named Judd. "What you must do, Judd," he says, "do quickly." Puzzled, we watch as the man called Judd Simonson rises from the table, a strange look in his eyes, and leaves the room. By now it is late and dark, for it is night. When he is gone, Jess glances around the table. "Do you love me?" he asks. Pete blurts out an answer. "Lord, how can you ask such a thing?" he says. "You know that we do." "If you love me then," Jess continues, "you will keep the commandments I have given you. This is the only way to be my followers, by doing what I say." "What is chief among them?" asks Tad. "A new commandment I give to you," replies Jess. "It is what I have been teaching you from the beginning. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is how others will know that you are my disciples. Not because you tell them of me, not because you convince them my teaching is true, not because you work miracles before their very eyes, not even because you tell them about our God and Father in heaven. None of these will cause people to believe, but only if you love one another. Your love is the only way they can come to know the truth. Your words will matter nothing. Your deeds will matter everything. But Lord, why are you speaking like this? Says Pete. Do not let your hearts be troubled, says Jess, sensing his anxiety. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. And you know the way to where I am going. Lord, we don't know where you are going, says Tom. So how can we know the way? I am the way and the truth and the life. I have come to take you to the Father. When you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, because you have seen him. Show us the Father, says Phil, and that will be enough. Do you not know me yet, Phil, even after I have been with you so long? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? God and I are one. I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. God loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from him. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Jess pauses and gazes intently toward Phil. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, he says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. But it sounds like you are leaving us soon, I say. Very soon. I must leave you, he replies. All must be fulfilled, but I will ask the Father and he will give you another, a helper and guide and friend, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit. He will come to you and will lead you into all truth. But what are we to do when you are gone? Asks Bart. You are to do as I have taught you, answers Jess. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he it is who loves me. If you love me, you will obey my teaching. My Father will love you, and we will come and make our home with you. The words that I have spoken are not my own. They are the words of the Father who lives in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. How can we possibly live without you? Says John. He is younger than all the rest, and Jess has always loved him with a special tenderness. Tears now fill his eyes. I am the vine, and you are the branches, says Jess. My Father is the gardener. If you abide in me, and allow me to abide in you, you will bear much fruit. That is how you will live when I am gone. But apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love. If you obey my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and abide in his love. I have told you all this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than he who lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do as I have commanded you. Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This is my command: love one another. There is much more that I have to teach you, but our time now is short. When the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now come, it is time for us to go. Jess rises, and we follow. From Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.